This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to our part two sit down with Mr. Konstantin Maroulis. And if you haven't heard part one, check it out. We talk about Idol, of course. You know, does anyone else listen to part one and think it's shocking? Konstantin claims that he had more votes the week that he went home than people who stayed. Like, say what? I don't know. I think that is just so shocking to claim that you had more votes than people who stayed and yet he went home. I mean, shouldn't you stay if you had more votes? I don't know. You have to listen to this. We talk about Carrie Underwood, Kelly Clarkson, his friendship with Ariana Grande. And of course, we get into what happened the last time he was here. Konstantin was here last year, right after they mentioned on Roni that he had, quote unquote, been with Luann, Ramona, and Tinsley. We get into what that actually means, the fallout from that. Who did he hear from? Who's happy with him after those claims? And it really did go all around the world the last time he was here on Behind the Velvet Rope. So listen to part one first. We're about to have a Roni extravaganza and get into all of this. This conversation is about to continue. Who was upset with him? What is the current state of his relationships with Luann, Ramona, and Tinsley? Does he know Leah? Does he know Ebony? Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that. He also has a new radio show we're going to talk about. We have a lot to talk about. You can listen to this part two without listening to part one. Just going to make more sense if you listen to part one. And now our continuation of our sit down with Mr. Konstantin Maroulis. Now, before we get into your new radio show, we're going to take a few minutes because you did make a reference to the fact that the last time you were here, we had a chat and it went viral. And you then minutes later, 20, 30 minutes later, you make a reference to the fact that you love cougars. So let's just take a minute, put Paula Abdul aside for a minute. Yes, the last time you were here, we did have a little chat because it was the last season of Real Housewives of New York and your name came up and it seemed that you were with, quote unquote, Luann, Ramona, and Tinsley. And then we talked about that and that went all over the world in a lot of ways. So
really did. That was crazy.
It was a moment. Yes. Yes, you didn't expect that, Konstantin. You thought you were just, listen, when people step behind the velvet rope, this is no joke over here. People might think I'm just talking to myself, but...
No, I knew it wasn't, but that was...
I know what I'm doing. Everyone, just give me a minute. I know what I'm doing here.
Okay, that's really funny. And yeah, that was... those were some interesting conversations I had to have... With the girls here and there thereafter.
Well, yeah.
Let's just say two of three of them took it fine. You know, they were like, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's cool. And then one was maybe not as pleased about it. I think what ends up happening is, even though it probably could have played really well into the coming season, they still don't want to make it about that. They don't want to make it about sharing men. And that's been seasons past, but that's sort of part of the successful formula of the show. I think audiences love that there have been some crisscrossing happening. And, you know, I had spoken to Luann, who's a dear friend, and, you know, I've performed with her many a times about kind of being her maybe her wingman coming up on the season. And, you know, maybe, you know, whatever, there'd be sort of some moments where our history would come up and stuff. But, you know, maybe she would even help me meet someone or something like that. And we sat down, we had like a proper dinner about it. And then all of this news came out. And she had asked me, she was like, so the Ramona stuff. And I was like, what? And I was like, look, I met her before I met you. And that was a while ago. And we're close. And yeah, you know, we had some fun and it's all good. So she knew that, but then she ultimately wasn't cool with that. You know, she didn't really want to have done that. She had said, I mean, we were basically like scheduling days to film. And I had many opportunities to be in that world over the years. And I shied against it. I mean, even Bethany will tell you, she used to invite me to events that were going to be filmed that I passed on many a times. And I finally went to one with my daughter's mom when we were trying to work it out again, some Valentine's event that she had done. And I realized the cameras were there and I had to sign a waiver and the producers kept trying to push me into like the scenes. And I just wasn't with that. And I think there was like one moment they got where Ramona came and sat on my lap and they even used it on the show, but then there was no follow-up because I literally left. I left. So, and that was years ago. So I, you know, I've had opportunities to kind of use this as a platform or anything like that. And honestly, my connections with the girls was always very earnest and very genuine. I told you, Tinsley and I were in a proper relationship, despite what like Perez Hilton and all of them, who Mario's a good friend of mine now, but back then he just kept saying how fake it was, and it wasn't fake. It was not fake. I spoke to Tinsley quite recently and she's going to be in New York and I'm hoping to meet up with her and check in with her because it's been a while and I feel like she's been through a lot and we were always close and we've kept tabs on each other over the years. And her mom has always been a, you know, big supporter. I know her sister well, who I haven't spoken to in a while, but I'm hoping to connect with Tinsley. Ramona recently, just when Page Six, you know, announced my radio show, you know, she reached out and she was psyched about that. And she's the caller. She'll like, you start texting and she just starts calling you. And I'm like, ah, I'm with the kid and it's, ah, you know, but we always connect and she's great. And Luann and I have lost a little touch. You know, I don't know if she'll ask me to perform with her again. I feel like she's in a some sort of relationship now. But I feel like she got a little, you know, a little salty about me talking about it. But it's like, you guys brought it up first on the show. They blacked out my name. Of course, it was going to create a storyline. And we should have, no one is more chill about the whole thing than me. You know, I would have been a really good ally in the situation. There's fun synergies with music and stuff that we've done together. We've had a great time. We have great chemistry. And believe me, you know, I've protected her, you know, and her secrets along the way. And I never meant any harm. Me reposting a couple of the articles or something like that never was meant to harm anyone. I mean, you know, it was never meant to be like, I don't know. I was just kind of like, this is fun. You know, look at all this. Shoot, everyone's talking about it. You got me?
Yeah. I don't
know why it's saying that it's so. So yeah, you know, I care about her. I'd love to be cool with her. I'm sure if we ran into each other, we would be. When we had dinner that night, it was like nothing had ever happened. And, you know, we were basically like, let's do this. You know, they all need to kind of create scenarios and stories. And because this past season was still a lot in the quarantine world, you needed to sort of lock in who your kind of friends were going to be and guests. You know how this works better than I do.
Yeah.
So, but then all of a sudden she was like, yeah, we're not gonna have guests and stuff. And I was like, all right, whatever, that's fine. You're the one that wanted to do that, not me. So I don't know. I haven't watched the season. I just saw something about Ramona. She has some interesting perspective on the social climate at times. And I think something like that came up in one of the shows. I don't know the new girl.
So when you say that two of the three were okay with your speaking here and posting all the press that we got, you're basically saying Ramona and Tinsley were okay and Luann wasn't overly thrilled at the moment.
Yes, she wasn't psyched on that. But then we got over that real quick.
Because you had the dinner after all of that.
Yeah, well, beautiful place. I forget, on the Upper East Side, we were having truffles. She's like, give me those truffles. And we had a good time. We have a good time together. And she had just moved into a new apartment and it wasn't really quite set up yet. So I did not get to see it. But but we had a good time as always.
Well, I know Luann very well. And I mean, now you're just making me feel like, thank God she never called me and was never upset. She was just on this show recently. So like, thank God I dodged that bullet.
No, you know, again, like, look, I mean, obviously she's going to act differently with me. So
I have to be honest with you. One of the main reasons I'm able to be here 5 days a week as the host and executive producer of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast is because I get a good night's sleep. And I think if you talk to any entrepreneur, they will tell you that their ability to wake up, do business, and take on the world is based in a large part on the ability to get a good night's sleep. The reason I'm able to get a good night's sleep, you ask? It's because I chose Boll & Branch sheets. Boll & Branch was formed by a husband and wife team that set out to give sleepers more choices for high quality sheets at a fair price. And boy, did they ever accomplish that. What I love is the variety of colors. I chose the pewter mainly because it goes best with my apartment. The sheets are so elegant. They look and feel so sophisticated, but the price is so reasonable. That's why I chose them. They're 100% organic cotton. They are made toxin-free. And what I love is they get softer with every wash. Sheets that look high-end, sophisticated, and elegant, but are affordable, sign me up. And that is why I did sign up. These are the only sheets I will now use. And you guys need to check this out. So listen, you can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. To experience the best sheets you've ever felt, choose Boll & Branch. And because you're listening to this podcast, you get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code VELVET at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and B-R-A-N-C-H.com, promo code VELVET.
But honestly, I think she liked me and I liked her. And I think that there, you know, have been some sort of just missed connections and moments. And I think maybe she was hoping that, you know, I didn't have as much history, because it's hard for people to kind of get past that sometimes when, like, you know, and she's been there and it's her show. She's an original and she's a star from the show. And she wants to dictate what her storyline is going to be. You know, so I think there's a little of that.
So if you didn't have this past with Ramona, which you do, do you think maybe it could have been between you and Luann?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Luann is...
We have insane chemistry together, and she knows that. Don't you?
Well, when she hears this, she'll weigh in on this.
Oh boy.
But I mean, Luann is drop dead gorgeous and is wonderful. I have to say, out of the current cast, I mean, knowing them all, I'm going to back Luann. I agree with you. I think she's a total class act.
Yeah. She's wonderful. And again, like I told you, New York is actually quite small.
Yes.
These are the girls you meet out, you know, it's not, at all these events and these press events and little movie screenings and little openings of something, these are the girls that you meet because that's who comes out. So that's who you meet. And it's a small circle. It's a small, you know, and frankly, I'm attracted to someone that, like I've said before, I'm attracted to girls like that, you know? And I joked when I said cougar, but I mean, I don't even know what a cougar is anymore, because that probably is just a girl my age now. So yeah, basically, like, what, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, who knows? So I just like a girl that is confident and has something going on, you know, in her life, you know, for sure.
So that's what you like about Luann, other than the fact that there's insane chemistry and she's gorgeous. It's that she has.
And she's worldly and intelligent, and we have wonderful conversations, and I think she's really talented. I love her show. Her cabaret is insane. It's so well done, you know, from a producer's perspective. Yeah, I don't think she's going to go out there and win American Idol, but she's got a well-crafted show that's got a beginning, middle, and end. The audiences love it. The girls are there, like, drinking. She's got all of her sayings and all of her kind of hooks, and a couple of her, you know, club songs are really hella catchy, you know? So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and Ramona was like supposed to use my song on the show, and we went back and forth with the publishing and blah, blah, blah. And God, you know, I feel like they're always kind of like talking a little bit. So I'm like, sure, here, use the song, whatever.
Well, when you sat down with Luann to have this dinner and you were going to come on the show, it was going to be this season, the one that filmed during COVID, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, for sure.
And
I don't know what's her story been like? What's her vibe on the show? I haven't watched it yet.
She's had some issues with Ebony, the new girl, and her story is just, you know, like her continued sobriety and just living life.
Well,
What was your story going to be with her? Like, when you guys sat down at this dinner and mapped it out, like, what were you going to...
Just hanging out. Like, we have a little past, but we're friends, but maybe I could be your wingman. She used that, and maybe we can, you know, go to events together and, you know, whatever, and maybe something happens, maybe something doesn't, you know, just basically what we've done, you know, just be us, you know?
That would be funny.
Yeah. And we always have a good time, for sure. And, you know, I don't drink. So I don't know. Is she drinking? I don't know what's going on right now.
I don't think so. I think Luann is truly, I'm a little behind in the weeks of the episodes, but I mean, as far as I know, no. So you guys have that in common.
Nice.
Maybe you'll call her after this chat.
I have a feeling I might hear from a couple of them after this. It seems to be the way of the David. So we'll see.
Well, that is sometimes why people come on. Now, when Ramona called you, or she just called you about your announcement of your radio show, what does Ramona say? I mean, do you
texted me? She texted me, but she, like, we're the type, she, I'll call her right now and she'll pick up, you know, like, she's like, what's up? And, I'm in the Hamptons. I'm having a lunch. I'm setting it up. Everything's new. This is the theme. This is the bat. And these people are coming and it's going to be great. And then I'm going to Florida and then I'm going to Aspen. And, you know, is that basically how she speaks?
That is
what?
100. So I'm friends with a ex-friend of Ramona's, Elise, who was on last season. And I was in the Hamptons staying at Elise's like 2 weeks ago. And
was Elise kind of on the show at one point?
Yes, with the dark hair. She was on last year. Her and Ramona do not get along very well. You know, she's like dark black hair.
There's a couple of those fringe ones. There's a girl that came back, I think, for this season that used to be a cast member, but now she's a friend of the cast this year.
Heather Thompson.
Oh, Heather. So Heather, I was at Ramona's, when was that? I don't know, probably at the beginning of the filming of this year, and Heather was there, And I guess they were shooting a scene and I was hanging back.
Is this in New York or in the Hamptons?
In New York at her new place. And Ramona and I just, she's like, come up, we're going to catch up. Let's catch up. And they were breaking down. So they weren't even shooting. And then basically, yeah, Heather's like, do I know you? Don't I know you? And I was like, I don't know. Do you? Whatever. And then Ramona's like, okay, Heather, it's time for you to leave now. So we could catch up and hang out. We were just like cranking up the song. She loves to like listen to music and hang out.
I'll admit it. As important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today. Beautiful Anonymous.
She wanted me to see the new place. It's beautiful. And yeah, that was probably... I don't know, just a few months ago, something like that. We're friends.
I can't tell you how much traveling I've been doing in the past few weeks, and airports and airplanes are packed. People want to get away. Listen, if your dreams of that vacation or enjoying the fun of life are turning back into a reality for you, don't stress over the financial setbacks that can keep you from saying yes. Credit Karma is here to help you keep your financial goals in check so you won't have to hit pause on a good time. Credit Karma's game-changing technology shows you tailored offers for credit cards and personal loans that you're more likely to be approved for so you can apply with more confidence. They use your credit and other financial information to show you custom recommendations. Whether you want cash back, travel rewards, or to consolidate debt, Credit Karma can help you find the offers that fit your goals, because your goals may not be the same as my goals. With a selection of options and approved odds, you have the power to make informed decisions. Credit Karma, apply with confidence and you will be on that beach enjoying that drink in no time. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast to learn more and find offers tailored just for you. That's creditkarma.com/podcast. Or you can see your offers on the Credit Karma app. Apply with confidence today. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast or the Credit Karma app. Do you regret though? Because you said, I mean, I asked you if you maybe could have been something with Luann if you didn't have this past with Ramona. So do you regret having a past with Ramona?
No. I think she's awesome. I think she belongs with her ex again, to be honest. I love that she quarantined with him down in Florida. I feel like he's done a lot of growing. I feel like they're a nice family unit. They love their daughter. I feel like that feels right. But I think she wants to, you know, I think that she's, you know, there's some things that she just can't get over with him. And it is what it is. I feel like he might be with someone else, but that's a little awkward considering that she like lives there sometimes for weeks and weeks at a time. But I feel like, you know, when I see pictures of them, I'm like, they just look right. It feels right. I feel that's the move for her.
Maybe you should call him and try to push them back together.
I don't think he wants to hear from me. I've done some bad things to his ex-wife, and he don't want any part of that. But no, we are we're cool, and their kid is doing a great job. She's, you know, really building an awesome resume for herself. She's done some great stuff, and she's working for some new startup now. I think she was in investment banking, and she's you know,
kind I think of she works for Cameo. She did. Oh, I think so.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know what she does for Cameo.
In on some startups and stuff like that. And well, maybe she helps her mom get better placement on Cameo, because that's what it's all about. I don't have you. Do you know what Smule is?
S'mores or Smule? I swear there's different ones every day. I am on Cameo and I ignore all the other ones, but I know people that go on all.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. So many people love to like, be like, this is the new one. Your fans in China. No, but Smule is, it's S as in Sam, M as in Michael, U L E Smule. Smule is not a Cameo app. It's a singing app that is, if anything, similar to TikTok, but it's strictly singing. It's strictly duets. And I recently did a big collaboration with them and it blew up on their app, Smule. You have to check it out. It's huge all over the world. Millions of users, billions of users, if you know. And so as a result, they did a feature with a few of my tunes, like Rock of Ages type tunes. And I actually shot them at home, like, a long time ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago. They and the tech on their app has gotten so much better. And they only just did a feature and it blew up. Like in a week, there was like 10,000 unique videos that people did with my song. So you do a song like More Than Words, which is a natural duet, you know, saying I love you. And then they come in with, is not the word that, you know, and it's a split screen and it sounds pretty good. And in just a few days, like 10,000 unique like duet videos came out. And the only problem is they verify your account. I've gotten all of these spam and fake, you know, profiles on all my other social media. So people are like, from Cameo to Facebook to Instagram, they're like, is this you? This person's trying to get me to buy a fan membership. And I'm like, you know,
see, so that's why there's so many scams.
Bullshit. It's bullshit, man. Bullshit.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/velvetrope. Listen, life is full of stress. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Life is stressful. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, like mine, your temper is shorter than usual, like mine, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Unload the stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. Try it out. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. Before we move on to your radio show, because you mentioned you are going to maybe meet up with Tinsley when she is back in New York. Are you shocked about Tinsley and Scott, that Tinsley is a single woman?
She's such, you know, like in acting, we talk about head, heart, or groin. You know, it's like, is this character, do you take an approach? Is it a head kind of person, cerebral? Is it like a heart type of person? Or are they sort of led by their kind of groin? Tinsley really is a heart person. And I know that she ultimately, with all the ups and downs and all the fame and whatnot, and, you know, Socialite, Page Six, the original kind of It Girl and all of that. And then her new life with the Housewives thing. I know that ultimately she just kind of wanted to be loved. And she just wants a partnership. I know that, you know, but it's hard to sort of completely break away from the spotlight. And I feel like, I don't know. I don't know that guy, but I think that he giving her an ultimatum, like, I don't want you to be on the show. I want you to move to Colorado and just live with me while I have this big business. And I don't know what you're going to do, but, and I think that she just wanted that partnership so much that, you know, that's hard. That's just really hard to do. You know, you want someone that wants you for you and that wants all of you, wants someone that respects your work and part of her work and her brands that are in Europe and in Asia still, is for her to be out in the public eye and to make appearances and to work with, you know, events and such, for her to be out there. And it's not easy to keep it going for as long as she has, for 20 plus years. And she has, you know? So I think that eventually will start to weigh on people. And the quarantine certainly wasn't easy for relationships. And so I just don't know him. So I just know that about her, that it's hard to just change people, you know? And I think that, you know, that probably was a conflict in their dynamic, you know? So, it'll be nice to see her. I hope that we get to hang out. She's bouncing around. She's going to LA. She's going to be in New York for a few days, I believe, next week. So I'm hoping to see her. But they're always out in the Hamptons. The Hamptons isn't really my thing.
You know? It's not. See, I love the Hamptons.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But I'm such a Hamptons girl.
Yeah, I'll be in the Hamptons, like, hanging out at someone's house. I don't need to be, like, waiting on lines or like trying to get into a place because I'm cooler than you, and to be like it smashed into a place. Like the other night, you know, I read about something and I'm too old for that shit, you know? Like, you want me to like jump on your helicopter and like come and hang out at the house for the weekend and like beat the traffic and like have a wonderful dinner, and obviously, you know, that breeze coming off the water and the trees. I mean, that's great. Dealing with like the sceniness is not so much for me. Honestly, the Jersey Shore is so underrated. I've been working a ton in Atlantic City. Atlantic City has come like light years from what it was when I was a kid. Some of the new hotels and casinos, but there's new restaurants popping up. Margate, have you been to Margate, New Jersey? It looks like Southampton. I mean, it's like they're mansions and restaurants that will knock your eyes out. You know, Monmouth County, Asbury Park, couldn't be a cooler scene right now. Ocean Grove, you know, Bayhead, you know, you could take the ferry right to Atlantic Highlands. I think, you know, my friend Sarah, who's engaged to my manager, Jason, they just bought a place in Atlantic Highlands, I believe. And, you know, a little kind of getaway. And, you know, Jersey Shore is where it's at. It's not Snooki. It's not that, you know, that's a fun show and all, but they're characters. you know, even Belmar and those shore points that were kind of known for like the fist pumping. Sure, there's always going to be a little of that, but there's some high end, beautiful stuff. And really just post Sandy, the huge storm now, what, 10 years ago, the shore has come back like tenfold, 10,000 fold. And I'm way more into being down there. Even Red Bank.
It's chiller. It's more relaxed.
Like not quite all the way down the shore. Just chill, man. I'm like, whatever.
I get it. Well, we're going to talk about your radio show, but these are my final questions. So you don't know Ebony or Leah, right? You've never met Ebony or Leah? The two
No,
guys.
But Leah's super hot, super hot. I don't know her though. I know that she's close with Tinsley though. So yeah, I don't really know much about her. I follow her socials and I'm like, she seems pretty great. I don't know. What's her character? Is she?
I'm thinking, well, you might be a really good match for Leah.
Actually, it's funny. Leanne brought that up at one point. That's kind of funny, but you know, who knows? I can't hang out with all of them, David. I can't, you know.
Did Leanne bring that up about like as you were guys were
going
to be
maybe
each other?
Leah? Yeah, she's like, maybe Leah's good for you. But maybe not. I don't know. I mean, you already have the history with this one and that one. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I could see you and Leah, you guys are around the same age. She has like, you know, she would be into your career. Like she has that edge. She is like a clothing line. I'm seeing this really, actually.
Holler at me.
Seriously.
She's really attractive. I was like, wow, she's hot.
Let's put that out into the, well, you know, when you have dinner with Tinsley, I mean, that is your in right there. That is.
They're really close. She won't like that. Aren't they really close?
Well, you could ask Tinsley, hey,
I need permission. Yeah. We'll see.
And have you heard from the icon that is Dale Mercer now that Tinsley is single saying, hey, Constantine?
I reached out to her when I heard about the news and I said, look, you know, I love you guys. I'm all about, you know, supporting you and anything she needs, tell her to call me. I think I joked about, we'll make him real jealous. You know, we'll have a lunch and take a picture or something. I was joking around like that. And she's like, you're the best. And she's even like, because one thing that came from all of that press, I think a lot of people like enjoyed it, but there was a lot of hateful stuff, you know, comments written about me too. Like, ew, he's gross and this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, whatever. You know, digging up terrible things written about me in the past or whatever, but that's par for the course, right? That's just part of the game. Dale often would like defend me with a post or something. But I reached out I think Tinsley needed some time to sort of process all of that. And, so we connected again recently and, I hope I get to see her, you know, and, you know, away from paparazzi, away from any of that. So.
I hope so too. So tell me about this new radio show at WABC, right?
WABC, you know, I mean, legendary call letters, actually the biggest radio station in the country. Their engagement is still just bigger than anyone else's, wider than anyone else's, 50,000 watts, streaming on WABCradio.com, WABCmusicradio.com. There's an app, 77 WABC. You can find that, you know, in your app store. Super excited. John Katsimatidis, you know, huge Greek billionaire mogul from the Gristidis franchise. He and Margot, his wife, have been dear friends. And we've done a lot of sort of philanthropic work over the years, you know, whether in the Greek community or elsewhere. And, you know, he acquired the radio station and is actually really building up his Red Apple Media Group to some legendary status right now. They're acquiring other, you know, stations and whatnot. So we connected at an event, and I hit it off with his the president of the station and the program director, and we put our heads together and we created this show because Saturday Night Rocks. You know, definitely they've been leaning into conservative talk radio for many years, certainly with the last administration and all the sort of the climate that created, very polarizing, you know, one side or the other. And I feel like they definitely want to get back to some fun programming, music, pop culture, entertainment. They definitely have their staple shows, you know, that they have on the network, but I'm going to be sprinkling a lot of entertainment reporting all over the schedule. Bernie and Sid is their staple morning show, the biggest morning show in the country. I'm going to be coming on a couple times a week to do my Broadway Blitz entertainment reporting, you know, hang out, talk about pop culture and a lot of stuff. But Saturdays are my show, you know, 5 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern, the soundtrack of my life for sure. Everything from the Rock of Ages world, mid to late 80s, but also 90s. We're going to have, you know, a different theme each week, whether it's an icon week like Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, you know, Prince, Cyndi Lauper, those legends, those giants that I grew up with on MTV, you know, those kinds of songs and programming. Whether it's 90s, you know, one hit wonders, whether it's yacht rock. We're going to have some flashback moments with our stonewashed benchmark in each show. The first one in our premiere show on July 10th will be a throwback with Foghat's classic. Wow. Yeah, so there's some fun stuff like that. And, you know, we're going to have some fun drops in the show from movies, one-liners in movies. And we have a lot of guests that we're talking to, from, you know, Dee Snider, Debbie Gibson, Ryan Cabrera, you know, people like Jason Robert Brown. You know, hopefully I'll have the Grandes on, you know, David Bryan from Bon Jovi, maybe some of our housewives. Maybe you can come on and do some fun, you know, tea. And,
I'm not, you know, just so Bravo really hoping... and housewives, just so you know.
Oh, exactly. That's what I mean.
I you know? Do so, it all.
I know you do. And I think that, you know, the idea would be to simulcast the show, to stream the show and really build up some of the long form stuff, you know, have in studio. John rebuilt WABC. It looks like Sirius XM up there now. I mean, it looks like it's state of the art. They have a big open jam room that's set up with the cameras. Like, we can have in studio performances. We can have guests, you know, so it's limitless, you know, so. You know, it's happening all really fast. And you know how it is, man. It's all about that ad revenue. So we're hoping, you know, we're talking to some big brands about aligning on the show, from Smule to, you know, And Pizza. My buddy Michael Lastoria, super woke, you know, CEO, great guy, great friend of mine. He's out there fighting for, you know, fair wages at, you know, fast food and quality fast food. You know, And Pizza, one of the most exciting brands out there right now. You know, so we're talking to some really cool people from, you know, the Tao Group, you know, a lot of my friends there, the alignment they have with MSG, with Mohegan Sun, with all their restaurants, with Vegas. So I really am hoping to do some truly exciting stuff with this show, but really it's a music show. You know, we're getting back to music. I grew up with WABC. Yeah. My father would play Bob Grant. I don't know if you know who that is, but he was the original talk show host. This guy would be on for 8 hours a day and he could bullshit about anything. Huh. And definitely leaned on the conservative side and said some wild shit over the years. But he had a massive audience, huge influence of Howard Stern's. And, you know, obviously, Rush Limbaugh not my guy, but there would be no kind of Rush Limbaugh or you know, talk show hosts like that, talking heads like that without Bob Grant. So my father would have it playing in the garage when we'd be working on the cars. And then they would go to pop radio. You know, I would go to WABC to listen to all my pop radio when I was a kid, before they were all of the big FM stations that we know today, like Z100. So I'm hoping to bring that back, you know, and I think we're on the precipice of like a radio renaissance. There were some hate comments like, oh, so relevant, oh, radio. And it's like, that's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. Radio is still insanely important. And what the hell? You think that most people are like turning on their car and like putting on their Spotify? Yeah. Most people are turning on and listening to the first music station that comes on. So, so we're hoping to rock that. And I'm excited. Please tune in. You know, the show is going to be streaming all over the world. And you can, you know, check out my social media. I'm obviously going to be promoting the show a bunch. And we're really excited. So thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, Page Six, you know, dropped a great item on it. And that usually means it's pretty relevant, right?
Listen, you were on Page Six. They got Ramona to text you. I mean, this is all good.
That's true, right?
Now, and the question is, would Ramona know about this if it wasn't on Page Six? Other than, you know, it, she will eventually, but I love how that's probably where she saw it.
I'm usually calling her when I see her items on Page Six. I'm like, uh-oh. She's like, what'd they say? And but I didn't about this past thing because, you know, we definitely have different point of views when it comes to like a lot of the social stuff that's going on out there. And she's pretty, you know, dug in on her vibes. And
do you have a preference between the 80s or 90s?
Wow.
As far as music? I mean, I do, but I'm just curious if you do.
You know, obviously my correlation with Rock of Ages, you know, really has me kind of, you know, synonymous with an 80s soundtrack. And that's definitely my youth, MTV and all that. But there's something about those 90s one hit wonders, that production, the songwriting, you know, it still had sounded like, even the pop songs sounded like a band, you know, that's huge to me. So we're going to be playing a little of everything. And you know, come see my band, The Frequency, Constantine and The Frequency. You can go on Facebook, Constantine and The Frequency on Facebook. We're trying to build that page up because we play a lot of that. I have a great girl, Megan LaFlamme, in the band, and we play a lot of that, like Alanis, you know, Four Non-Blondes, stuff like
that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And of course, Foreigner's Journey. You want to hear the hits from Journey and Foreigner. Done, you know, and let's face it, most of those bands, they call them heritage acts. Most of them are kind of tribute acts of themselves anyhow. There's no original members really left in the bands. So so we basically are out there doing those shows as well. So it's a lot of fun. Everything's on my website. There's tons of fun stuff. And I love to talk about the housewives and all of that. And look, I hope I don't catch a bunch of shit for having a fresh cup of coffee and talking all the tea. But
you were honest. Fun, man. And listen, I just had some music. You should do 80s one hit wonders. Like I just had Tony Basil on this show. Remember Mickey?
What song is that?
Hey Mickey. Remember Hey Mickey?
Oh my God.
She was just on this show. She did Shopping A to Z. Yes. It was the cheerleading video.
Oh my God. Because remember, that was like, I'm like, that comes out. I'm like starting to have my first thoughts, if you know what I mean. And I'm like,
so but really
wasn't that a cover? I only learned that later that was actually a cover that she made a hit for herself.
I forgot who did the original, but she added like the Hey Mickey, You're So Fine. I literally just interviewed her, so I should know the answer to this, but it's definitely a cover. But I think she added the Hey Mickey.
Well, yes, I love the 1-8 one hit wonders.
Like, you know, One Night in Bangkok and Rock Me Amadeus, like all those
That's from Chess, One Night in Bangkok.
Yeah,
that's the musical Chess. So, of course, One Night in Bangkok and the world's yours.
That's why, like, the 80s music, some of it is, like, so brilliant and just makes no sense. You're like, these lyrics make no sense, like Rock Me Amadeus, like all that shit. And you're like, but it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it all.
We just had I just had Tiffany on here and UB40. We've got some, and UB40.
Well, red wine.
Here's the thing, UB40, you think okay, I guess I'm going to, I'll interview them. Maybe not my favorite ever. I start doing the research. I'm like, UB40 is selling out currently stadiums, Madison Square Garden overseas, today.
I'm sure.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they've been around a long time. See, the funny thing is a lot of those bands had that one hit, but they usually were more of a cruddy underground kind of act, a band like The Cure obviously went mainstream, but they were always sort of an underground club act. And then he just started writing the hits and they became a stadium act both here and all throughout Europe. But there are a lot of those acts that touched the mainstream, but then kind of went back into the underground, but play festivals with 100,000 people. Wild shit. Tiffany, I've met a few times, and maybe we'll have her on the show too. I know she's out there doing tour dates.
She is. Cool.
Yeah, I last saw her when I was playing the Whiskey a Go-Go with Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses, another psychopath. And we ran into each other real quick. It was insanely packed to the place. Of course, my landline is going off.
Tiffany's a good one to have.
Yeah, I love her. Love her. And Debbie's having a huge resurgence right now. She's doing a couple of movies. She's doing something with the Backstreet Boys, I believe. She's got a Vegas with what's his name from Backstreet? No, from
Oh, really? She has a Vegas thing. I didn't know she had a Vegas thing.
With the good-looking Boston kid.
Donnie Wahlberg?
Joey
McIntyre?
Joey McIntyre and her are doing some Vegas dates together.
I had no idea.
Yeah, she's got all, and she was judging a show, and she works, man. She hustles. She's still writing. She got a new album. Love me some Debbie Gibson. We used to kind of hang out too. So, and I think she's kind of alluded that she's single now. So we might have to have a dinner ourselves.
She's a nice Long Island girl, local, man.
Oh yeah. We had a moment back in the day. So she's
what
lovely.
Do you mean? What nice do you mean girl. By a moment?
I think it was well documented that we were kind of hanging out. Yeah. Back in 2006.
And Debbie has kept herself she's keeping it together. Let me tell you.
Yeah. She looks real good, but she's not she never got into drinking or drugs or anything like that. And she never, she didn't have children. And, believe me, having children can age you very much. So
I understand that. And that's possibly why I don't have children. Do you have a favorite from the 80s or 90s?
Oh, God.
See, Constantine, there's other things I talk about besides Housewives.
No, the Kim Basinger type of actor.
Or just music. Who's your music? God. Yeah. For me, Madonna and Prince. That was and Blondie, which is 70s into 80s. Debbie Harry, Madonna and Prince. That's it. Those are the top three.
All of that, 400%. 400%. I got to see Prince. Do you remember about
Yes.
10, 12 years ago, he was popping up doing some private shows and he would play the Hollywood Roosevelt. And that one, I was in the scene, out and about, and I knew all the kind of right kind of club promoters and all the right Roosevelt type people and stuff like that. And I got to go, and I brought a girlfriend from high school who was in LA. We were just friends, Megan, my girl, Megan Tropea. And last minute, and it was one of those get here in the next 20 minutes
at 3 a.m.
or you won't be able to get in. And we saw him in the ballroom at the Hollywood Roosevelt with 70 other people only. He marched in a New Orleans marching band, okay, and they kind of came in with all a stomp sort of style thing, and they were stepping and all this. And then they take the stage and he comes out and he played everything, every song He played every fucking instrument. Mm-hmm. He never sounded better. He played bass. He played drums. He was playing trombone, ripping guitar. Like, I've never heard anyone rip guitar. And thereafter, like, because he wouldn't always show off that he was a killer guitar player, right? And it was like thereafter that he was like, you know, I want to show motherfuckers that I can jam, you know? And like, there's that famous viral video of him doing Guitar Gently Weeps with like Eric Clapton and all them. And then he throws the fucking guitar and walks off stage. Sickest artist ever.
I agree. Like, I don't care if you're a fan or not. Like, I think, I mean, at least in our, from us being born to dying, I think number one musical genius, like without, there's no, well, he, like, you know, the story, like the first thing that he brought to Warner Brothers, like whoever was in charge was like, what's this band? And whoever was like, no, this is one person. And they were like, no, this is a band. Like, who's playing? And they're like, no, that's one man playing every instrument. And they're like, how is everything. That possible?
And he's, then, the, you know,
you should go to Paisley Park. If you've never been to Paisley Park, if you're ever in Michigan, like you walk in and there's really no surprises, but like you walk in, you're like, yeah, but obviously this is how Prince lived. Like, it's, you're not surprised, but it's still so interesting just to like see it and be like, yeah, it's exactly what you're probably picturing is what it is. There's like so many colors. Yes, it's mostly purple, but it's like insane. First Avenue is great. First Avenue is great. It's a great place.
I actually have a great time in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities. In general, St. Paul is cool. There's a great theater there, the Orway Center. I've played. In fact, oh, I can't even say that. There was a funny. Well, I mean, you know, okay, so, oh God. And it gives me the creeps each time. She'd be so mad if I said this because she's such an animal lover and it broke her heart and she was not the same thereafter. We're playing St. Paul on American Idol tour. We're staying in this fancy hotel I've stayed in since many times. I forget the name of it. You know, 5-star, like insane. And we're walking out the front, Carrie Underwood and I, and it's one of those like red carpet with like the fancy doorman and like, you know, the brass, what do they call it? Like luggage racks and all of that. And gorgeous summer day, and we're walking out to like get to like our van to go to like a sound check or something, and we're all casual, and a little bird came, like, what are those little kind of pikes, you know, those, a little bird came, and as I was chit-chatting with Carrie as we're walking out, came, landed, and she stepped on it right at the time it landed and stepped on it, and it was like, oh my god, and it was just like the most freakish thing that could ever happened to someone. Like, as the bird landed, like, she just kind of stepped on it, and it was like, I was like, oh my god. And she was hysterical, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe that just happened. And of course that she's like this vegetarian, she's like animal, you know. And it was just, and I just remember the doorman being like, ugh, and he just put the luggage rack like right over the bird, because the bird was was pretty fucked up after that. And I just remember that happening, and she would kill me for telling that story, because that's probably what will come out of this interview. Carrie Underwood kills a bird in 2005 summer tour, but it was just one of those like freakish things that happened. I mean, this is the girl that like won the Ford Mustang and like had the seats swapped out because they were like leather seats, and had the, you know, vinyl ones put in instead. And she's been a huge advocate for animal rights and all of that. But it was just one of those freakish things that happened that was a total accident. I just will never forget, like, walking out that hotel. We were like, yeah, so sound check. Oh, whoa, what just happened? And it was just one of those like dumb little birds that came like and flew in, and just, you just kind of half step on it, but it's enough to, you know, do a little damage.
So on Monday when I interview Carrie Underwood, should I bring this up?
She's not going to like that. She's like, I fucking hate him.
Well, I'm not interviewing her on Monday yet, but
I've never, like, I mean, all the drama and backstage and everything, I've never brought one story up, because I love and respect her too much. But that just kind of popped up when we talked about St. Paul and Prince. And there you have it. That was a freakish, weird incident that happened.
It's my fault.
Well, it is.
Anytime you want me to come on, I love talking about the goss. If you need any updates on the goss, I am up on the goss. Before we go, and we will wrap up, what do you think? Because 80s and 90s is my jam. I could talk about it all day. Best two eras of music. I think the 80s is the best. That's just my opinion. What do you think of new music? I mean, I have my own opinions, but like, do you like any new music? And what's going on in the music scene today?
I think a great song is a great song in whatever era. A hook is a hook. If you can create a hook and you create that ear candy and that sonic sort of, you know, place you can reach and connect with people, you've done your job. I mean, how do you not like I said, I like Ariana's hits. I like, you know, Post Malone. I like those hits. I like the Machine Gun Kelly song. I like Ed Sheeran. How do you not like that stuff? I love Casey Musgraves. And, you know, I think there's some really good stuff at pop radio, sure. And the mumble rap stuff, I get why it's so hooky. And, you know, I'm a gamer. I'm a video game player, you know, and I mainly play just Madden and the sports game. So they are always updating with like new kind of hip hop and rap and stuff. And it's so catchy, but...
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, we talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
When I think of like 80s and 90s and the other decades, you know, those songs will be relevant forever. Those kinds of well-written, well-crafted songs. Like, I don't know if a song that she hit me up in the DM or whatever it is going to be a song I'm going to think about ever again, you know, down the road. So it's in the now. It's very now. Everything is so disposable right now. You know, we're swiping, you know, we're liking, we're over someone one day, we're on to the next celebrity the next day. You know, we've become so finicky and everything's become so disposable. And it's a bummer because there are no like giants anymore. I loved the early 2000s New York scene when the Strokes were still underground. Like Kings of Leon were coming up and playing bars and club dates. No one knew who they were. Jet was in town. They hadn't blown up yet. Yes. This band, the Elephant, or called Elephant, and like, you know, the Vines. And all these cool bands, Franz Ferdinand and shit, like that's over. Like there's no bands anymore. I want to go see bands. I like what Greta Van Fleet are doing. And it's cool that they sound like Led Zeppelin and all that. I think we've gravitated towards them because it's like, we just want to see bands again. You know, I don't like, and even Maroon 5, like my sister-in-law works with them. You know, she's been with Adam for like, geez, probably like 2 decades now. I like everything they do because he just knows how to write a pop song, right? It's just hooky. But I still love their first album because it sounds like a band. And it's like,
I
sounds
like earlier Maroon 5 myself.
You know, it just sounds like a band, you know, and I love that. And I like, you know, Gavin DeGraw, good buddy. I like, you know, the early stuff because it just sounds like it sounds like a band, you know. So I love that stuff, but I like, you know, how do you, The Weeknd is sick, you know. It's hits, man. So I like hits, but you know, we've gotten away from like making an album and having a concept and having a beginning, middle, and end. And that's good. Maybe we'll get back to that. You're starting to hear more guitars, right? Guitar is kind of back a bit. a little bit, right? But it's like,
and then you look at like, I agree. I say to myself, like, do we love the 80s and 90s? Cause that's like what we grew up with. Or is it just objectively, no, that's just better music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I say the same thing you said. I don't think there's any superstars. Like, I don't see the Prince, the Madonna, the Cindy, like 30 years
ago.
Cindy's amazing. Cindy's amazing. Yeah, I'm
hoping to have her on the show. Oh my God. And she could still wail. And bummer, she had that one performance. Like, they did something over quarantine, like her and Billy Porter.
I think it was for New Year's, I think.
And they clearly couldn't fucking hear each other. Like, her track was all off. Like, people don't realize like how that is, you know, like if the track is off in your ear and you have to pull your ear out and you can't hear what's happening, like, you're, of course you're going to sing off key and out of rhythm and it's going to sound crazy. And people are like, oh my God, the hateful comments that people were writing. It's like, you fucking wish you could ever be Cyndi Lauper, ever. I mean, in like her fourth decade, like, she writes a giant hit musical from scratch, you know, like, she's, you know, come on.
So, and is writing another one, or at least she was working on Working Girl, the music.
Oh, wow. I don't know. That's a great idea.
I think she's doing it with Harvey. Like, I don't know with what happened, but it was maybe in the infant stages at the beginning.
I could see that. And
yeah, like, who has a fourth act? Like, Cindy, like, you never need to perform again, honey. Like, just write those Broadway musicals and just stay home and relax.
And it's like True Colors. Hello. She wrote the song. It's like, hello. You know, I mean, what's a better song than that? So, and I always, what I want to ask her is about Captain Lou Albano from her video. Of course, girls just want to have fun. Like, how did that come about? Like, how did they cast Captain Lou Albano? Of course, a wrestling.
She was into all of that. She like hung out with like Rowdy Piper. Like, she was in that scene, before she got famous. And then she just,
Well, it's funny. It's funny how, like, you know, even Muhammad Ali famously kind of created his persona by watching old like 40s and 50s wrestling people, like Pretty Ricky and all this. Like, these guys would come and they would flaunt and they would talk shit, and he's like, I need to start doing stuff like that. Like, they were like the original kind of performance artists, you know, wrestlers. So in a way, I could see, and the height of wrestling in the Hulk Hogan era of the 80s, I could see Cindy kind of like being like, yo, these guys know where it's at. And like, if she would dye her hair and act a little crazy, maybe it would help get her songs out there. So I could see that happening. But Captain Lou Albano would literally pin rubber bands to his face. Like, who does that? Like, what is that? Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put like clothespins or what do they call it? Safety pin rubber bands to my face.
Yeah.
So I wanted to always get into that shit with her. So,
well, the day you have her on, I'll just sit quietly in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That would be awesome.
We have tried to have her on here at the show. Billy's my
old school. Billy Porter, you know, obviously massive moment now, like in his early 50s. Like, I mean, who becomes a mega star then? But to me, he's been as big as he is now for 30 years. I met him in the late 90s. We did a production of Jesus Christ Superstar together, you know, when I was like, you know, I don't even know, 21 or something. And he had already been on Broadway. He had a record out. Love Is On The Way. One of his early songs was in like the First Wives Club or something like that. And he had done some stuff. And he was like my mentor. He was like my idol, man. And he could sing like a motherfucker back then. He was like, he did Jesus then. It was an amazing production of Jesus Christ Superstar, where Gordon Greenberg, who I later did a big production of Superstar with just a few years ago at the Muni, similar concept where it was basically like Black Jesus, Black Apostles, like set in like, you know, South Africa during like apartheid, and, you know, Pilate was sort of like this, you know, African kind of character, and Christ was more of like a Mandela figure and very cool shit. And I was just like in the ensemble, wow, like understudying Judas and stuff. But Billy, just watching him work then, you know, and to see him finally, like, I don't know, reach this success level. It's amazing. And his story is incredible. He's overcome so much. And his, you know, now his story with HIV and, you know, living, you know, a beautiful life with his husband. And I love him so much.
And Pose was literally, I don't know if you watched all of Pose, but it was like phenomenal.
Right. And I've seen some of it, and I'm psyched that it's now on the streaming services, so I can like finally sit and watch it. And you know, what's her name? I know from the Rent world. Who's the gal that played opposite him? Trans actor.
MJ Rodriguez.
MJ Rodriguez. I've known through like Rent over the years, and
amazing.
Some other stuff. Yeah. So for her to get like a platform and to be giving you like the acting, you know, that was sick. That was sick.
And I've met MJ Rodriguez, like, talk about nice, like one of the nicest. I've like multiple times I've met her,
right?
Like, beyond, like, talk about someone whose fame has not changed at all.
That's awesome.
Where can everyone find you, Constantine? I mean, I could talk to you all day, but you know.
I know.
You'll come back on. I mean, like, I could talk music all day. I mean, like, this is, you know.
I love it. Where can everyone find you? I appreciate your time, for sure.
I appreciate your time.
I'm sure you'll cut this up in some ways. But of course, at Constantine Maroulis on Instagram, that seems to be the fun thing. Constantine M on Twitter. ConstantineMaroulis.com for all the tour dates and information. All the other socials are on there. Constantine M Official on the Facebook. So I'm pretty much, you know, you punch in Constantine, I'm probably the first thing that pops up. But check me out on Smule. That's kind of fun if you want to duet with me and go at it and see what you got. It's funny, the haters even find you on there too. But obviously, every Saturday for the foreseeable future, WABC 77 Music Radio, WABC in New York. You can find me because Saturdays Rock, my new radio show, right there in New York City, but worldwide, streaming all over the place. And I hope you tune in for the radio show. It's a lot of fun.
80s and 90s, man. So I'm going to be tuning in. Everybody should tune in. Keep in touch. You will come back anytime. Reach out. Thank you for your time.
You're the best, David. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the listeners. Don't hate me too much.
Nobody hates you here. Keep in touch.
All right, Poppy. Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.